Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 3 through 30 and 39. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. He left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks, who drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give you will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who must worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking to her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have done." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. We are coming to the end of our summer series. I think Andy will still be preaching on one of the favorite stories next week. And it just so happened there were exactly four women stories that were in there, and I had four Sundays to preach, so I chose all four of the women. And it's interesting, as we think back on the women I've done, I had Ruth and Esther and Hagar, and now the woman at the well, the nameless woman at the well. But all four of these women had something in common. All four were aliens in an alien land. Ruth left her home in Moab and went back with her mother-in-law to Bethlehem. Now, Esther was a little different because Esther was Jewish. But she was part of an exile living in the land of Persia. And, of course, Hagar was an Egyptian slave, living with Abram and Sarai at that time. And now today we're looking at a woman from Samaria. Now, Samaritans and Jews did not have a good relationship. In the scripture lesson, it says they did not have much in common, I believe is the way they put it, or they did not share things in common. That's an understatement, really, because actually the Jews hated the Samaritans. They're cousins. They were all of the same background. But like the other Jews, they had spent a lot of time in exile. They had been conquered by other nations. They'd been carried off to other lands. And for the Samaritans, that was to Assyria. Now, one of the things that the Jews were very careful about when they were carried off into exile, they did not commingle with the people that they were taken to. They did not marry. In fact, in the Jewish faith, even still today for very strict Jews, if a man marries outside of the faith, they hold a funeral service for them. And as far as their family is concerned, they are dead. So that was how serious the Jews were about not intermingling with the peoples when they were carried off into exile. But the Samaritans did it differently. When they were carried off into exile, they did commingle. They did co-marry. And consequently, the Jews felt that they had abandoned their God, because part of the marrying the country into the people where they went was also worshiping their gods, because this was an area where there was many, many gods. So the Samaritans did worship some other gods as well as God, because they had, the Jews and the Samaritans had much history in common. In fact, the well that Jesus went to, Jacob's well, was part of both of their histories. Much of Samaria has places that are important to the Jews. But for the Jews, they had wanted nothing to do with the people at all. They were considered enemies. So today we find Jesus. Jesus has been in Judea, and he, as so often happened during his ministry, had gotten in trouble with the local people. They'd been baptizing, and there was real controversy over that. And Jesus was not at a point in his ministry where he wanted to get in trouble with the local officials. He wasn't prepared to make that confrontation yet. And so him and his disciples were heading north to Galilee. Well, there's two ways to get to Galilee from Judea. You can either go out over the Jordan, up and back over the Jordan into Galilee, or you can go straight through Samaria, which cuts the trip about in half. So Jesus and his followers chose to go through Samaria. And so we find them outside of Sychar, about a half a mile outside of Sychar, as at this well. And while his disciples go in to buy food, that's first point I want to make. They went in to buy food in Samaria, in an area where they were considered enemies. You would think if they hadn't begun to change their ideas from Jesus about how you treat other people, that they would have carried enough food rather than have to stop and buy, because it wasn't going to be that long a trip, but they didn't. Jesus had already begun to impress on his disciples that all people are important, that we don't need to have enemies. And so his disciples went to buy food while Jesus rested. And this woman came up. Now, there's several things about this woman. One, most of the women in the city would come early in the morning. The scripture said this was noon. But the women in the city would come early in the morning. And it would be an important part of the day, because getting the water was the only way they could have water. Unlike us, they couldn't turn their faucets on. They had to go to the well and draw that water up and fill their jars and carry them. They'd come early in the morning because, one, it was much more comfortable. The heat would not be so bad. And two, it was a time of fellowship for them. It was a time, a social time. But yet this woman came at noon, all by herself. There was nobody to visit with, and it was awfully hot. Because I don't know if you've ever been to the Holy Land. It can be very, very warm during the day. So she was coming at an uncomfortable time. And she approaches and she sees this man. I'm sure she was prepared to ignore him, because custom would be a woman and a man do not converse. It just doesn't happen, other than in the family, especially in public. And she could tell by looking at Jesus that he was a rabbi, which would have made that even a stricter rule. And yet, he speaks out to her. And he says, "Can I have some water?" And she's shocked, absolutely shocked that this man would speak, one, he's Jewish, would speak to a woman and to a Samaritan. Now, in one of the things I read that's written by Liz Curtis Higgs, she was doing a Bible study called Bad Women of the Bible. She said that it's very likely this woman might have heard this and considered it a come on, kind of like a woman sitting in a bar when a man comes up to her and says, "Can I buy you a drink?" She kind of knows what's going on. So there's a good chance this woman might have thought that also when this Jewish man alone on the road, far from home, asked her for a drink of water. Liz actually says that that was kind of part of that custom of the day, that the giving and receiving of water was kind of an initiation of conversation, is how she put it. So we'll leave it at that. So this was would have been this woman's first reaction. This strange Jewish man is speaking to her, and she doesn't know what to make of it. And he's probably wondering, why is this woman coming at noon, or so she thinks. We know later on in the conversation he knew very well. So they begin this conversation. He asks for water, and she's like, okay. But then he continues on. He doesn't leave it at that. He doesn't leave it as, okay, can you give me water? He begins to talk to her. And after she asks him, why would you ask me for water? He says, if you knew who I was, what I have to offer, you wouldn't ask that. You would ask me instead for water, for living water. She, of course, didn't understand because she sees him sitting there. Obviously, why he's asked her for water is because he has no bucket to get water out himself. She's like, what is this water? How can you give me water? And he begins to explain to her what he's talking about. What he has to give is so much more than water. We think of water, and I'm sure what she thought was, I'd love to have water coming all the time, not have to make this trek to the well every day and fill these heavy jars and carry them and go make my trip back half an hour from town. So I'd love this. But he says, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that's more important. It's in here. Think about meals you've shared. Think about maybe a Thanksgiving meal or a Christmas meal where we've all come together and we've shared food, shared drink possibly. 2 or 3 hours after the meal, what happens? Are you still full? Yeah, maybe on Thanksgiving you are. But on most meals, 2 or 3 hours after you've eaten the meal, you begin to get hungry again. But the relationships you've shared, the time you've spent, doesn't go away. That's the way with so many things in our lives. We have things that don't last very long, but the important things, those things like sharing time together, sharing fellowship, spending time with God, fill us and leave us not hungry. They leave us feeling full. But for this woman, she didn't understand that because she lived in a faith where God was there. It was the Abrahamic faith still, but they had kind of drifted away from it because they had worshipped other gods. In fact, Jesus talks to her about her 5 husbands. Some of the things I read said that very likely those 5 husbands could have been referring, have been more of a story talking about the different gods that the Samaritans were worshipping, that even though they had the God of Abraham as part of their tradition, they also had these other gods that they had married into. Often marriage is used within the scripture as a synonym for worshiping other gods, getting away from the God of Abraham. The traditions were so close that actually they had built a temple in Samaria, and that was another thing the Jews didn't like because for as far as they were concerned, the temple in Jerusalem was the only true temple. And that was part of that hatred. But Jesus looked at this woman, a Samaritan, and he knew her history because he asked her to bring her husband, and she admits that she does not have a husband now. And he, of course, tells her, yes, you're right, you don't have one now, you've had five, which would have been unusual in that day because generally divorce was not allowed. So unless she was a widow five times over, we don't know just what that story is. And the story doesn't tell us, as with so many Bible stories, it doesn't fill us in on the details. But Jesus didn't care. She was a wanton woman. She was one who was living in sin, who was an outcast from her people. But Jesus didn't care. He saw into her, and he could easily have ignored her, gone on, waited till his disciples got there, eaten his meal, and rest for a while and travel on. But he saw a woman who was hurting, who was empty, who needed something in her life. And he reached out to her, and he said, I can give you living water. I can give you something that makes a difference. I can give you a life in God. Touching others, but touching yourself, getting rid of all the ugliness in your life, getting rid of all the emptiness and filling it with something better. What an important, important story. We look at her and she's astonished. And she says, are you a prophet? But she knows the history of the people because she says, we're expecting a Messiah. So even though she was not Jewish, she was Samaritan, she knew the story of her faith. She may have drifted away from it in her lifestyle, but she knew the story of her faith. And he said, a time is coming when worshiping in Jerusalem, worshiping in Samaria will not be important. What will be important is that you're worshiping God. You know, that's one of the things we've talked about as we've worshiped in here. It's different. For some people, it may be uncomfortable. But we're trying to help you understand that where we are is not what's important in our relationship with God. Some people can go to church every week and they can listen to the story, they can read the Bible, and never fully understand the Spirit of God, how God wants us to live our lives. And that's what Jesus was offering this woman, an opportunity to understand how God can fill our lives. And that's what true worship is. It's not about coming to this building. It's about how we live. It's how we react when we come in on Sunday morning and somebody's sitting in our pew. Or maybe some new children come in and they make a lot of noise and distract us. It's about how we reach out to others when we're here and try to touch other people's lives. But more importantly, worship is about what we do after we go out of these doors. This is worship, but our lives are worship. And that's what Jesus was saying to this woman. How we live our lives every day of the week is how our relationship with God is. What an important message. That God wants us to be with each other every day, to fill ourselves with living water, to fill our spirits with how we live, to seek to reach out to people that look like they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're maybe empty because they don't know about love. We keep talking about the fact that God is love. But unless we live like God is love, unless we share the love, unless we seek to understand love, and to look for ways to reach into people's lives and their hearts and share God's love in our lives, we've missed the point. God is offering us living water. Jesus offered this Samaritan woman living water, but Jesus also offers every one of us living water. If we felt empty, maybe it's time we look a little bit more at who we are, what we're reading, how we're touching other people's lives. Because if it's only about us, we've missed the point of what Jesus was calling her to do. And we've missed the point about what Jesus is calling us to do. Because there is so much out there. Jesus is calling us to use our voices to make a difference. To use our voices in how we reach out to others. To use our voices in how we vote. Because that is an important thing. Because who we elect touches other people's lives and makes a difference. That is our challenge, is for us to find living water. Because as we find living water, we overflow. And we too can share water with other people. And that is the message of this Samaritan woman. Jesus changed her life that day. She indeed did have a troubled life. She had a life that needed to be touched by somebody. And Jesus sought to be that. And hopefully by him touching her life, he's given her water that can overflow and touch the lives of other people in her life. Amen. At the end of this story, the Samaritan woman rushed into town. This woman who was an outcast in her town went up to the people in the square. Now understand, those people were probably men hanging out in the square, and told them what had happened to her. She was so excited. She had met this man who had declared he was the Messiah. And because he knew all about her, she believed that. And she shared that message. Now surely the men did not immediately believe, but they understood enough that they went out to look for Jesus, to find out about this man who knew everything about this woman. Now today, if a man had come up to them and told them all about them, they would have just assumed they had been being stalked on Facebook. But that wasn't the case in that day. He had no way of knowing about this woman. But the woman became an evangelist. She, who was ignored by these people most of the time, had the courage to go out and to say to them, "Let me tell you about this man." And you know what happened? Those men came out and talked to Jesus. And through that one encounter, the message of Jesus spread throughout Samaria. The scripture says many people came to believe. That woman who was an outcast had the courage. And that's my challenge to you this week, my charge to you. If that woman who was an outcast can do it, can go out and spread the message, and it doesn't always have to be by words. It can be by actions. How can we who have had the blessing of being part of God's loving community not do the same? This week, as you go out of these walls, look for ways to be like the Samaritan woman, to take the word, to show God's love, to spread living water. Go now in peace.